Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. And lo and behold, Eric Scalavino is actually here on a Tuesday.
Don't get used to it.
Never happens, but it's only happened the first 3 freaking weeks of this program. But it's because you were off this weekend, right?
Correct.
In effect, since we played on Thursday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, okay. So I'll take it. Schedule is good. Schedule is nice.
Yeah. Next week we get back to the normal.
Back to the normal
Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday thing, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to go way off the tangent right now, but
yeah.
I noticed already today hearing and looking at a couple reports where Atlanta's got some big losses injury-wise as well.
Yesterday and today.
Looking ahead for 2 weeks when the Patriots play the Falcons.
Yeah. Yesterday and today they lost 3 defensive players in the last 2 days.
Right.
Yesterday, 2 guys went on IR. Croy Bierman was one
right,
of them.
Right.
And then Brady James, the linebacker.
Linebacker, and then they lost the fullback,
and
too.
And then, oh, really? I didn't see that
Yeah,
part.
I saw that one, too. That
today,
was today.
Oh, today was, I saw somebody went IR designated to return.
That may have been him, then.
Which was, I think, another defensive player.
Oh, okay.
Weatherspoon. That's who it was.
All right.
And then Steven Jackson might be out 2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 4 weeks, yeah. On top of that, that means he could be out for the Patriot game, which might actually put that game on an even keel, because the Patriots are still kind of working with their own situation as well.
And see, that makes me a little mad because I really wanted to see, like, a team like Atlanta has one of the best offenses in the league. I wanted to see them at their best against this Patriots defense to see
what
New England defense is made of.
I actually started with that today, simply because it's sort of going to get to my ultimate point. Fact of the matter is, I know that this is Nitpick Tuesday and that we've got a lot of people that want to get the nits off their back, and by all means, you can do that. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, going to dissuade you from picking up the phone and crying and bitching and moaning today, because that's what Tuesdays generally are here in the playbook. It's your opportunity to get it off your chest, out of your head, whatever it is, so we can kind of get it out of the way and get on to the next week. And yes, this is Tampa Bay week. We should be relatively familiar with Tampa Bay and their personnel, having played with them, for a whole week of practice during preseason and then have the exhibition game with them. And so it's all fine and good. But we do have to sort of exercise the past week. And by, not exercise, I mean exorcise it out of the process. This team, this Patriots team, is 2-0. Is it the 2-0 that everybody thought they would be? No way. Not even close. It's not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, they're perilously close to being 0-2.
Yes, but this week's opponent is perilously close to being 2-0.
Yeah.
What I can't believe is, the silly power ratings come out, whether you believe in them or not. I like to nitpick on the power ratings every week because it's just stupid. This country loves polls, and to me, I only like one kind of poll. There's usually a dancer attached to it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay. That's for strippers right there. That's for him. So, but all I'm going to say is that, polls are silly. They're subjective, but it's because we have to rate something. How does it rate? How does it compare? How does it look, in
because
comparison
Because we're naturally competitive.
Yes.
We
and
like
so,
to know who's
And so we
good
have to rank.
Not.
We have to poll. We have to, how does it measure up in this country? And it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Why can't it just be? There doesn't have to necessarily be a reason for it, although I assume if you really beat it over the head enough, eventually you'll get a reason out of it. The fact of the matter is that I saw Tampa Bay rated in a couple of these polls, and I do look at them because I like to see what the general consensus says. It's good for benchwater marks. Like to see where the public perception is, if not the perception of those who are actually doing the ranking. And some of these guys are off their friggin' rockers. Tampa Bay was ranked 30th in one of them that I saw today. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Just because they're 0-2? Does anybody realize this team is two plays away from being 2-0? So, and I'm sure that the Patriots, when they begin, as they begin preparations for the Buccaneers this weekend, are going to prepare just like that. And Bill Belichick has already said as much in some of his early comments this week on the game this week. All right. Now let's go back to where we've been, because that will be for later this week, and we'll continue to sort of, go through that. By the way, I know you got hammered on your Twitter account.
I sure did, John, and it's thrown me for a little bit of a loop today because
I've never seen 5,000 direct messages.
Well, I learned the hard way here today that there's a quota on number of direct messages you can send in a day, because one of my friends and fellow colleagues here in the media sent me a joking response to what happened. Was I got my account got hacked by one of those weight loss sites that always includes a link in there. I'm sure you've gotten those spams before. Right?
Absolutely, I have. Yeah. In fact, my account was hacked about a month ago. The same thing.
Same kind of thing.
Same thing. Yeah.
Right. So what they do is apparently they take your followers list and they direct message everybody on your followers list. And I have, well over 5,000 followers. So my friend in the media responded to my direct message jokingly saying, I know I'm a little overweight or whatever, but, you didn't have to take a shot. He was obviously joking. I went to respond to him laughingly, and Twitter told me I couldn't because I had exceeded the quota for the day on direct messages.
So somebody said, nope, you've done all your direct messaging you could do. You can't
do
anymore.
So I have a question for our audience because we have a very savvy audience.
I would think that our audience would be savvy.
Yes, we do. Is there a way to bulk erase all direct messages in your inbox there?
I've never had that problem.
I'm trying to erase them all because I have more than 5,000 direct messages to people, and I want to just get rid of them all. Is there a way to bulk erase that column?
Good
that
question.
Folder.
All right. Good question.
If anyone knows, please
send us in the email.
Call us. Send us in the email or tweet at me. Yeah. @E_Scal.
Yeah. Please. Whichever way it works. Right. All right. First of all,
annoying though to get hacked.
I totally understand. I know you're kind of perplexed by this because I know
I'm trying to help respond to people and make sure that people don't realize.
You want to make sure
really
that nobody's
me.
Pissed off at you for doing this.
Right.
And you didn't do this.
Right.
And, although
I have changed my password.
Everybody should be in good shape, but,
Well,
I mean, obesity is a problem in this country, Eric, so.
Well, yeah, that aside.
Let's not forget the ultimate reason here.
I'm not the one shaking my finger at you to do it, though, okay?
Oh, lovely. All right. So we've already digressed quite a bit here on the program. But I just saw you struggling with your phone, so I had to make sure that we got that out of there in case somebody get a direct message @Escal, then @E_Scal, then you know why it is.
And if you feel guilty about getting the direct message, maybe you need to do it anyway.
Well, if you're feeling the twins of guilt, just look down at the waistline.
But don't click on the link, whatever you do. Don't give those bastards the satisfaction of knowing that you got duped. Don't click on the link. Just delete it.
So here we go. Let's dial it back to last Thursday. I know it was just 13-10. I know that there are a lot of fans that feel like, there's no way that you should have been in that kind of a death match with the Jets. But can I do one thing today and then I won't do it anymore this week?
You promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you so. Did I not?
Yes.
I believe I did. Did
you
I
did.
Not?
You did.
Okay.
You sure did.
That's it. I'm not going to say any more.
Okay.
All right. What was the conversation we had last week, Eric, about this game in particular?
That you were afraid that it was going to be a low-scoring game.
Yep.
And that the Patriots potentially could be on the losing end of things.
Yep. And why was it going to be low-scoring?
Because the team is just not that good?
It was because the
offense.
The offense right now with rookie receivers
is just not going to
continue to struggle. It's just the way it is. Now, I know that that's got to be a huge nitpick with a lot of fans, and I'm not going to try to steal so much your thunder here as I'm going to basically agree with you. That would be my major nitpick. However, there is a reason for the nitpick. Anytime you make, and I've said this over the last couple of weeks as well, and I think it bears repeating here, because this season is likely to get rockier than it is right now. That's a very good possibility, kids, that this is going to go south. And I don't mean it's going to go south forever and then this team won't make the playoffs, but there's going to be some bumpy roads to travel on this season. Be bumps in the road. Speed bumps, whatever you want to call them, they're going to have them this year. There will be some good moments. There will be some low moments. Might even be a good moment this week if you get a guy like Gronk back, which I guess is the rumor
possible.
That it's 50-50. It's possible. Which would be a great thing. But
more likely, I'd say, than the last couple of weeks.
But you can't expect that Gronk's coming back is going to cure all these ills. It's because it's not.
No, because you have to, you should keep your, whenever he does return, you should keep your expectations low that you're not going to see the Gronk that we're used to. Rob Gronkowski, and I got to give credit to Andy for this line, Rob Gronkowski may be back, but when will Gronk be back?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that we're used to seeing rumbling and dominating
Correct.
People.
That's a great line.
You know, maybe...
Do we have to credit him for that, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right. Journalistic integrity requires us to do so. no
careful,
other reason
Be
than
careful
that.
When you use that phrase around Andy.
No, but seriously, just to expect a guy to come back from injury and be exactly like he was pre-injury... is unrealistic. You have mm-hmm. to give him some time to get back to normal. You know, and you know, he may be healthy enough to play, but that doesn't mean he's going to be at the level that you expect to see him at.
Right, exactly.
He might, but just be aware.
I bring this up because the receiving core, the rookie receivers, that's my top, obviously that's the top nitpick for a lot of people. And that they must have seen this, and how could they not see this, and how could they let some of the other guys go, and how could they not re-sign Brandon Lloyd, and how could they not go get a veteran receiver, and how could they, you know, strap Tom Brady with this kind of a receiving core, knowing that he's in the twilight of his career, and that our opportunity or window of success for other Super Bowl championships is dwindling by the very minute. And frankly, I can't argue with that. I think that's entirely accurate. I do think that the organization fundamentally has decided to go a direction that I certainly would not have gone. I think I would have tried to maximize the opportunity of my once-in-a-lifetime quarterback a little bit more than this organization is doing it. However, let me say this. There's a reason that these people, whether it's Bill Belichick, Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, any of the scouting department, there's a reason I think that they're doing what they're doing. You may not agree with it. Right now, I don't think I do, but I understand why they're doing it. There's a difference.
Well, okay.
They're doing it because they're still trying to look long-term in terms of the organization. They want to continue to do with this team what they have managed to do for the last 13, 14 years, and that is remain competitive, remain viable as a championship contender, remain as a playoff contender, remain in the upper echelon in the NFL.
And how are they doing that?
They're getting younger. They're getting younger. We've seen already the transformation of this roster, and we've talked about this several times already in the opening weeks of this season. This roster has gone from the second oldest in the NFL to the 11th youngest in 2 years.
But can they be competitive with the youth?
They can because they know that Tom Brady will allow them to be competitive. They're using Tom differently than you or I, or maybe some of our listeners would use Tom. We want to go out and win a championship.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now. They want to remain competitive for the next 10 years. And they're trying to build toward that. Whether you agree with that or not, I totally get it. I'm telling you, that's what I believe this mantra is inside the New England Patriots organization. It is, if you win a championship, great. It's fine. That's wonderful. But it's a bonus. What they want to do is remain competitive year in and year out. They want to keep the seats sold at Gillette Stadium. They want to keep interest high. They want to keep the waiting list for season tickets high. They want to continue to be one of the top-selling merchandisers in the entire NFL. Because why, Eric?
Yeah, the money.
It makes them money.
Let me ask you a question then. Do you think that would still be the approach had the first three Super Bowl wins by a combined 9 points, 3 points each, been losses? Had they not won a Super Bowl?
No. I think winning the Super Bowl unexpectedly as they did in 2001 and then coming back again in 2003 and 2004, I think is icing on the cake. I think
so
that
they can afford now,
afford to do what they're doing. I think that if they had been competitive those years but lost those three games and they were the quote unquote new generation Buffalo Bills, you know?
They'd take on all or nothing.
They would take on all or nothing, and we'd probably see Brady stacked with veteran wide receivers right now. But because they've won in the past, and you can't take that legacy away from this organization. I mean, we got the Lombardi trophies right next door in the Hall of Fame over here.
Yeah.
I've had my picture with them. You've had their picture with them. They're real. You can touch them.
Yep.
So they do exist.
Yep.
This isn't a big, you know, figment of our imagination around here. But the fact of the matter is that it's allowed them the luxury of looking at building their business differently.
But, yeah. I
and that's what this is. We want to be fans. We want to win. But they're running a business.
You also want to see good football.
They want to, if they can, if you can see good football,
but we didn't see
and
good
be successful
on
with your business, that's what they're gonna, that's what they're doing.
I don't dispute that that might be what they're doing, but I'm arguing the other side.
Okay, that's
we
fine.
We didn't see good football on Thursday.
No, we didn't. We saw lousy football on Thursday, but
and
did
saw,
they win?
I saw.
Did they win?
They did.
Okay, they're 2-0, right?
They did.
They're not 0-2.
No.
They're not 1-1.
No.
They're 2-0.
They are.
Okay.
They, I
that's
didn't
all
see,
that matters at the end of the year.
I didn't see good football on Thursday. I saw very good football on Sunday afternoon in New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By a guy who's still wearing number 83.
Yeah, I know. I know. Listen, I know. And that's a,
which is a scary proposition because he hasn't even gotten
fully on
the same page with his new quarterback.
I totally get it. And we talk about getting Brady on the same page with his rookie receivers, and they're not even in the same playbook yet.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty clear to see.
Those guys, as to continue, the calculus arithmetic, analogy that somebody wrote in earlier, Brady's ready to do calculus while his receivers are still working on algebra.
Yeah. no, still working on long division.
I think Manning and Welker are looking to take, advanced honors classes.
Yeah. There's no question. There's no question. But I think that's part of the mindset here. I really do. So, you know, whether, you know, we're going to sit here and we're going to bitch and moan and we're going to nitpick and we're going to talk about the things that are going wrong because that's what we do normally on Tuesdays here in the playbook. But at the same time, just to give you a big picture view, this is my impression of what's going on. It may or may not be 100% accurate, but I do believe there's a lot of truth behind it.
And one more thing before you move on to the calls. Patriots Nation has responded. The Playbook fans have
yes, here it
have
is.
Told me that
yep.
dmcleaner.com.
Yep. Strippers just sent it too right
a,
here.
Now have people actually used that? Is that legitimate?
He says DM Cleaner allows you to handle your Twitter direct messages far easily than the website does.
Okay.
In a few clicks you can purge all of your DM or even delete only some of them.
Okay. Yeah, somebody on here told me a few people have mentioned the DM cleaner, and it says that it lets you erase 200 every minute. So you might have to do it maybe a couple of times, you know, in full. But that's a bulk way of deleting. So I will try that later. Thank you all very much.
All right, here's how you get a hold of the program. The webmail, the email address, as you know, webradio@patriots.com. So send us your nitpicks via email if you like. If you're listening to the program online or wherever you may be, type in the email, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to get to a lot of those coming up. The toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS, P-A-T-S, 500, or the local number is 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Makes no difference because it rings down to the same line. You can hit us up on Twitter. Just please, please, please don't DM Eric right now because he can't take it. And he can't.
I can't respond.
He can't respond to you. But
I can tweet at you. I can't direct message you.
You can definitely hit the Twitter feed. It's at JR Broadcaster or at @E_Scal. Either one is fine for here on the program. And the Facebook page, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. And if you're not a friend, well, then submit the request and we can be buddies. We can be football pals. You know, especially during the season and even some during the off season, but, we definitely converse via Facebook with the chat function and posting functions there on Facebook. So there's several different ways to get a hold of the program. Now let's go to the phones because we don't want to keep this guy waiting. Yeah. Kevin is visiting from Munich, Germany yet again. Kevin, you're in the playbook.
Hey.
How's it going, Kevin?
Doing?
Good.
Good.
All right. So tell us what's on your mind today.
Pretty wrong with my prediction on Thursday, Wednesday, sorry.
Yeah.
But my nitpick for this week is all these media guys and Patriots fans that panic way too early because Brady's not on the same page as the receiver. I think they will get along pretty soon, and they don't need the help that all that fans screaming for.
Let me ask you this. What leads you to believe that Tom is going to get on that same page with his his young receivers. Have you seen something that you that you like about the relationship?
Yeah, the touchdown pass to Dobson, for example, I think that looked pretty good, and they nearly connected on some deep throws late in the game if those weren't dropped. And I think if the receivers can catch those, the game, both games would be pretty different.
I think you're actually pretty accurate with that, to be honest with you. Yeah, there were some drops there. There was one spectacular, you know, stretch out pass by Dobson he couldn't hold on to that had he been able to hold on to, could have certainly changed the complexion of
that
game.
Catch.
But that's the difference between, I think, a veteran receiver and a rookie who's still feeling his oats in his first NFL game. And you're right, Eric. He have to make that catch.
And to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. When Edelman got wide open early in the game on that little wheel route kind of thing down the right left sideline along the Patriots sideline, and Brady overthrew him by about 5 yards, you got to make that pass.
Yeah, that's true. And that was early in the game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was early in the
and
game.
And Tom gave him one of those dope moments on the top of his helmet, you know, after he missed that pass, because Edelman, that was 6 points.
Because that could change
the
complexion of
things,
too.
Sure, 6 points right there. Totally blew that one. Kevin, that's pretty good. That's actually a pretty good assessment by you.
Okay.
I guess he's gone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
He's going to put his Lederhosen on.
No, he said last week he was not wearing any Lederhosen.
He is the Ersatz Bavarian that we talked about last week, right?
Ersatz Bavarian. The word of the day comes later.
I know. I have to pick one. I don't have one yet.
Eldridge is in his truck. Where are you in your truck, Eldridge?
Oh, I'm sitting on the side of the road right now in North Carolina. I'm working local now. I drive for Napa.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Napa know-how.
Oh, yep. You got that right. But, Eric, how you doing, man?
My man, hey, let me just start off by offering you an apology, Eldridge.
Oh, no, that's all right. Because
I apologize. I went a little overboard with my criticism last week, and I shouldn't do that, especially to a loyal caller like yourself. You didn't deserve that, and I apologize.
Hey, Eric, everybody get heated, man. I get heated. So don't worry about it. You know what I mean? I'm a grown man. I can take it.
Oh, I'm getting heated now, then.
Okay, so I'm going to get heated, too. But still, if you'd have caught that pass, it'd be there.
Way to stick to your guns, Eldridge.
Eric, I also answer your blog on PFW.
Yes, sir.
We need a veteran receiver.
Yes,
yes we do. And if you read it, it's Jerry Robinson, and I got a little block on there. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Three young receivers, I'll give it to them. You know what I mean? They're young. And Dobson, like I said, he had a touchdown twice, not both. And then I don't blame Brady. Everybody talking about Brady ought to act cool. No, that's a Hall of Famer. That's the best quarterback in the NFL, and BB gave him garbage to work with. I'm sorry. Garbage to work with. And then Mr. John, I understand he said he's trying to build younger. But, okay, in your draft pick, you got scouts. Got other receivers best to hit the ones you got. You didn't make a move to get none of them. I'm talking about not this year, the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at A.J. Green. I'm looking at Reuben Randle. I'm looking at Julio Jones. I know had to fight the fence to get him because Atlanta want him bad.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism, Eldridge. Yep, that's absolutely fair. And I would say that's a legitimate nitpick, if you want to, you know, call it a nitpick, but that's a legitimate complaint that the scouts have not done an accurate job of evaluating. That's very, very true.
I don't think it's the scouts. I think it's BB. I think the scouts, like everybody else, gave them a long run down. Like, if you don't trust your scouting team, you got 31 of them out there, and they got other guys ranked higher than the ones you got. I don't think nobody got rookie players higher than anybody on anybody's list. You know what I mean? I think they got Tennessee Chattanooga higher than rookie players. I'm sorry. Rutgers ain't won not one bowl championship, ain't been in one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and McCourty, he's okay sometimes he isn't. He's just like everybody else. Now, Harmon, give him a couple more years, maybe. But right now, I'm like one of them fans. I'm used to good football, I'm used to seeing the win, and I've been one since 85, so I'm not one of these darn fan jumpers. You know what I mean? I've been with growth heroes there.
Sure.
Sam Bill, every proud, all of them. I've been there, and I've been through the lean years also, but still, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're only two or three players away from getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. But like I said, it ain't the defense, Everybody want to blame Tom on the Super Bowl, but Tom did what Tom always did. He bring it back. Defense let us down both times. And Eric, I'm sticking my gun on that one too.
I think that's actually a pretty fair assessment. I wouldn't have too many complaints with that at all.
You know, but my question is this. Okay, I understand what you said, Mr. John. They're trying to get younger and try to be competitive for the next 10 years. Brady ain't got 10 years. I don't see another quarterback they try to groom unless it's going to be Mallett.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless it's Mallett. Because I know, I don't think they're looking at Johnny football.
Well, no, I still don't think, I'm still not convinced that Mallett is the answer, for the future. No. I don't think he is.
He's not.
So, and I don't think it's going to be Johnny Football either. So
no, I don't want him anywhere near here.
I'll be honest with you. First of all, I have grave reservations over his ability to be able to play the pro game.
I agree with you.
He could end up being another Tim Tebow for all we know. So, but that's another conversation perhaps for another day. It has nothing to do with the fact that he goes to Texas A&M or anything like that. I would say that, he's a tremendous college quarterback, but we've seen a lot of great college quarterbacks go to the pros and not be so great anymore.
Vince Young
is one. Tim Tebow's another. The list is very, very long where that's concerned. So, All right, go.
Let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
Okay. You got Brady, and he's in his twilight year. All right?
Yep.
Would you give him a Beamer? Or would you give him a toy truck to play with and say, okay, give us a football?
No question that I would give him the BMW. Okay?
Yeah.
There's no question. I mean, that's not even, you don't even, I mean, honestly, you probably realize that we're gonna answer that way, Eldridge. But, what my point was earlier is that the organization, those that are making the decisions, and maybe that is just Bill, and maybe Bill has the blessing of the crafts, I don't know. And we may never know the answer to that. You know how answers are so hard to come by around here. But the fact of the matter is that they look at the organization differently than you or I. They're trying for long-term stability and viability and success. And if championships happen, okay, great, they happen. They don't recognize, and this is the problem that I have. Why wouldn't they want to recognize Super Bowl championships as the end-all? Be all to end all, because people remember winners. People remember the dynasty. They called, the 2000 Patriots a dynasty because of winning the three championships. Now, why wouldn't they want to continue to compound on that? That's the one that I'd really like to have answered.
Me too.
I'm not sure we're going to ever get an answer to that. Why wouldn't you want that? Because then you're talking about going down in the history books as one of the greatest franchises ever.
Ever, exactly. Even though you didn't win everything, but at least you did win most of it.
Right.
And everybody like they're copying you.
Right.
My question is, if Eric is a Hernandez and Gronk could jump on the playbook so darn fast when they first got here, why can't nobody help support that I can't understand?
Well, that's a very good question. And we surmise that, those two guys apparently are just able to figure out what it is they got to figure out, as opposed to some of the other guys that they've drafted are just not, I hate to say intelligent, because intelligence, travels in varying degrees.
That's right, though.
But in a sense, that's what it is, because
it's a football IQ.
It's a football IQ. And that's where I think doing your due diligence on athletes and players has to also include your ability to understand X's and O's, as opposed to your ability to stay out of trouble. Now, maybe one of the reasons they look the other way on a guy like Hernandez is because his X and O IQ was huge. Even though they knew that he was a borderline, good guy or whatever on the other end, and they said, all right, we're going to roll the dice on this one because he's going to fall to us and we're going to get him as a steal. And if we can bring him into our Patriot way of doing things, we can nurture him. We can give him the bear hug. We can protect him. We can make him better, like the $6 million man. We can rebuild him and make him better. But that's the outlook. That's the attitude that they have. So they need to find guys that understand their system more so than guys who physically get it but are bad guys, because that's just how they go about it. Brady throws to a spot. He doesn't throw to a target. And so these guys have to learn how to run precise roots.
Unless that target is Gronk.
Yeah, unless the target is Gronk, and then you can just throw to an area code, and you're going to find him. But that's because he's a special player.
Mm-hmm.
And you're lucky if you find a special player like that, of that caliber, once every 10 years. And I'd say the Patriots are on that pace. They found Tom Brady in 01. Mm-hmm. They found Rob Gronkowski 3 years ago. Yep. So they're on about a 10-year pace for finding, true, dynamite players. They're on that pace. We're talking about skill position players, largely.
Right.
Because you can find good linemen almost, every other year. And I don't mean to denigrate that position, but we're talking about skill players that people will remember for a long time. And both Brady, that's one, and Gronk could be, provided he can stay healthy enough now, Gronk could be another player like that.
Yes. Now, all I can say is to the rookie receivers, I hope y'all listening. You catch him ball from Tom Brady, he can make you famous. Darn it, get famous.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. You got it, Eldridge. Thanks. Appreciate that. Good points by our man Eldridge there in North Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some very good suggestions that he had there. Oh, Kevin in Munich is back. Your phone dropped, huh?
Yeah. I'm not at home, so my phone connection's not that good.
Okay, no problem.
Just wanted to leave one more question.
Sure.
If the season doesn't go that right, and we are in the position next year's draft to draft one of these elite college receivers like Sammy Watkins, for example, would you guys welcome that move, or is that not that good if you consider this double dip at the receiver position that we did last year or this year?
Hard to say right now. I'll be honest with you, Kevin. It's just hard to say because you don't really know how this year is going to go. I mean, we've got 14 games still to play. What happens if Aaron Dobson finally, figures out a way to hold on to a ball? What happens if Josh Boyce finally figures out a way to get on the field? And what if Gronk comes back and has an all-pro year? I mean, there's so many what ifs right now. It's ridiculous almost to cast, thoughts forward because we just don't know how this year is going to unfold. So I'm not ready to sell off on anything or anyone that the Patriots have because clearly the coaching staff thinks that these guys are good enough to win with this year. Otherwise they would not have made these choices. Now, maybe they're seeing something in practice that you and I are not privy to see because we can't see the practices. They don't allow it, but 30 minutes at a time. And then, everybody's ushered out and then they can go to the business of actually working on game plans. So we don't get to see a lot, but I can tell you that it's becoming more and more evident that they're apparently doing things in practice the coaches like that somehow right now is not translating to the playing field. And maybe it's just, and Eric and I spoke about this a little bit last week. Maybe it's the speed of the game because regular season games are a notch above preseason games, which is a notch above the college game, which is a notch above the prep game. So maybe they're getting used to that, the speed, the noise, everything. Maybe, the playbook is too difficult. And maybe when push comes to shove and they're out there and now they're seeing defensive backs who are not letting them get to that spot that Tom Brady demands they get to, they're still trying to figure out how to get there. And because they're taking an extra second or second and a half to figure out how to get there, the timing of the route is thrown off. It looks like confusion out on the field and voila, you got Tom Brady yelling at you on the sideline. So all of that can be taken into consideration. It's got to play itself out, which is another reason, Kevin, and I'm going to say this for everyone who also has a nitpick similar, and that is, why don't they go out and they get a big-time receiver? Why did they go out and get a veteran receiver? This place crying out for a veteran receiver. There's a reason for that, because a veteran receiver is going to come in and take time away from the young guys when they need to learn how to play. It's that simple. You're going to take time away from the young guys that you're investing your future in and give it to a guy who's a street free agent? What kind of sense does that make? None. Zero. So, for better or for worse, these are the guys you have. I don't think they should go out and get anybody. I don't think they should go out and get T.O. I heard that suggestion. I don't think they should go out and convince Randy Moss to come back. I don't think they should, convince Brandon Lloyd to come back. By the way, did you see he's doing B-movies now?
Yeah.
That's great, isn't it? We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't think they should go out. Deion Branch, Deion, we love you. You had a great career. It's over, okay? That's all there is to it. Yeah. Still love you, though.
Oh, yeah.
Still love you.
There comes a time.
There comes a time in everyone's life when you got to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
And simply that's what the Patriots are doing. They're walking on from guys they could go get, and they've decided we're going to hang our hat on these guys. We're going to groom these guys. We're going to build these guys. We're going to coach them up as best we can. And guess what? We have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that's going to help us get there. Now, you may or may not disagree. You may or may not agree with the road they're traveling, but I can guarantee you, where they see themselves at the end of the year is where you see them at the end of the year, potentially, okay? It's just they're going to try to travel a little bit different road getting there, and I happen to agree with that assessment. If this is the road you're going to go, and frankly, I like the idea of going out and getting some veteran help, but that was before they invested. That's before they invested in these kids. But now that they've invested in these kids, I don't want to take away from them. It's not fair. It's not fair to anybody, especially to the players. Let's give them a full shot at it. And by full shot, I don't mean two flipping weeks. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Also, there's a reason why these guys are street free agents. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, now you're getting it, Kevin. Now you're getting it. There's a big reason why they're street free agents. Nobody else wanted them. That's exactly right. And to think that they're better than what you have right now, especially when they're going to have to come in, if they haven't played in this organization before, and they're going to have to come in and learn the same playbook that the rookies are having trouble with. What, are you nuts? You think they're just going to automatically, oh, yeah, I get it. I'm there. I mean, they're going to have the same learning curve as the rookies do. That's the lunacy to all this. That's why when people say, oh, we got to go out and get a receiver. No, you don't. You're not thinking. Use your head for something other than a hat rack. Right?
Which is what you're doing today.
That's what I'm doing. I have my hat rack on today. I totally do. Yeah, I'm going old school today.
You are. I like that.
I got the old Pat.
My favorite logo of all
time. The old Pat Patriot on today.
Favorite
That's exactly
sports
right.
logo of all time.
All right, Kev, did you have something else?
No, not everything.
Glad to hear from you again, my man.
Yeah. I'll be back on Thursday.
Sounds like a
prediction.
Sounds like a plan.
With his Lederhosen strongly on.
He doesn't do Lederhosen.
No, I know. I'm trying to get him.
855-PATS-500. That's the telephone number. 855-PATS-500. Or locally, 508-298-0398. Michael has been sending me a number of Facebook posts here, so I want to get a couple of these in here because he's done a good job to listen. He said, all right, Nitpick Tuesday, it's easy to pick on Dobson for his drops. Number two, how about a missed 43-yard field goal? The whole unit needs to be better. That's actually a good one. That's legit.
Yeah, yes, the whole unit. And I will give Gostkowski a lot of the blame on that one. For, you know, usually I'm an apologist for him.
Well, he does have a new holder.
Yes, but he also struck the ball terribly on that miss. So
you're having been a kicker yourself on the collegiate level, you would know.
Yeah, it was a bad all around.
Okay.
But specifically by him, he struck the ball terribly.
Number three, the offensive line did not show enough strength. Jets defense pushed them around too much. This is not how they will win a playoff game. Skronecki needs to work with them more, and they need to be more physical. Well, that was certainly, I thought, the case in week one against Buffalo. First of all, I think New York has pretty good defense. I think the Jets have pretty decent defense.
Sure do.
So I think that the Patriots, what they did is I think they gave up on the running game a little too soon last Thursday night.
I think they also didn't block well, John. I went back and watched.
Maybe that's what he's partially referring to.
Yeah, they didn't. The offensive line did not do a good job against that front seven of the Jets.
Was it a schematic problem or just a
physical
problem?
No, a physical problem. I just don't think that. I think the Jets just are better.
Okay.
Well, then their big guys are better than our big guys were.
Something that needs to be tended to. All right, Michael, good point. And then number four, he says, maybe they aren't that great, but seriously, no throws at all to the tight ends? At least get them more involved, but if you're only going to use them for protection, then see number three. Nitpick. Mm. And then get them more physical.
You know, it's not a
bad, that's an excellent point.
It's not a bad point because I thought towards the end of last year, Hooman had shown some great development over the course of the 3 months or so that he was with the club.
Uh-oh, Manawa Nui.
And he started to make some.
I just like saying
that. Yeah. He started to make some plays in the passing game, and I really wished Brady would try to get him more involved because I think that's a great point. If you want to keep your offense looking like
the offense that it's supposed to look like,
you should. And Bill and Tom always like to say, we trust the players that we put out there. Well, if that's the case, trust them to run the offense that you've designed.
Mm-hmm.
By not going to them, that tells me you don't trust them.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's a great nitpick by, who was that, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael.
Good nitpick.
He says, please quell the Welker issue as well. You called it last year that if the Patriots did not win the Super Bowl, that he would not be back. It was a business decision. By the way, Denver is overrated. Peyton will manage to lose in the playoffs.
That may be so, because that's their history, but they look great right now.
But I think we all realize the Super Bowl isn't won in 2 weeks.
No.
I mean, right now, if you're going to look at the Super Bowl, it'd be Denver and Seattle. Based on what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
Super Bowl.
Be a hell of a game, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I would definitely...
An old AFC West rivalry.
That's right. That's exactly right. I'd love to see Richard Sherman go up against Wes Welker, too. I'm not sure that would be the case. He'd probably get Demaryius Thomas.
He might be mad, bro.
Yeah, that's true. He might be mad, bro. I know. Gosh, I know. Let's see. And a veteran receiver also has his own mindset of how to do things. Too much of a chemistry issue. That's another point. Veteran receiver is going to be coming in. Probably he's set in his ways. Depends on how set in his ways. I mean, after all, he's not employed, so you're going to do the things that the team wants you to do. Otherwise, you're not going to have a job. But yeah, he's going to have certainly, shall we say, veteran tendencies, as opposed to a rookie who's going to come in basically green, you know, nothing behind the earlobes, and the coach is going to tell him what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Michael, good post today. Let's see. Let's get back to some emails here. Emails. Pete in Augusta, Maine, nitpick. The fans. I realize that we need to analyze, but given all this team has been through, not bad. The league has got hit with injuries all around, not just us. The games around the league have been close so far. The schedule this coming week looks a lot like a lot of close games again, with the exception of Denver and Oakland maybe. Yes, Tampa will play us tough, but unless we score less than 10, chalk up another W. Oh, now we're going to lean on the defense. Here we go. Look at what was just discussed about Atlanta. I could easily see the Pats being 4-0. Love Tom Brady, but if he's going to take the route of pumping up the team on the field, then you need to do it on the good side of a play, not just the bad side. Well, I don't disagree with that, and I think Tom said as much after the game Thursday night. He needs to watch his body language, and there are some things that he probably needs to take care of in the confines of the locker room and or the playing field, not privy to the, you know, free world.
But you know what? I think that Brady's body language these first couple of games is an indicator just of how bad things are on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if they were a lot closer to being where they want to be, I don't think you'd see that kind of frustration manifesting itself the way it has through Brady. Do you?
Probably not.
So that tells me that things are, you know, a lot of times we overreact to, you know, what we see week to week, and, you know, we're not privy to what goes on in the meeting rooms, and, you know, maybe it's not as bad as we think or whatever. Brady's reactions tell me that things are as bad as they seem.
Wow. Thanks for bursting my bubble.
Sorry, John. That's just how I when I look at that. Because see, you know, when
that was a real doggy downer.
You know, when things are going well for this offense, and there's a miscue, like if there's a wide open play that, you know, wide open touchdown that Brady just overthrows, or if a guy just, you know, dives for it and just misses it. When things are going well and that happens, Brady doesn't go ballistic and throw his hands up in the air and throw a tantrum on the sidelines. He does that when things are really going badly.
Well, it's because he hasn't had a lot of that. So I would argue that Brady hasn't had to deal with a lot of that in his career.
No, but the times when he has acted that way, it's been in stretches when things have been bad.
Yeah, but I think he also knew, and I think we all knew, that that was only going to be a short, you know, little microcosm of
a
bigger picture in the past, which is why we never saw it, because Tom himself was placating himself by saying, oh, it's going to get better because I know these guys.
Right.
Now he's not so sure.
Right.
So now, right?
Yes.
Am I going down the right track here?
Yes.
Now he's kind of like,
Right. Because
I'm not sure about this.
Because I know, I think I asked him specifically one. See, it might have been 07 or 08. I remember asking him in a press conference about getting used to a new crop of receivers each year. And his answer to me was, I usually don't feel comfortable. I'm paraphrasing Brady. I usually don't feel comfortable with my receiving core each year until about week 8. So right about mid-season. And this was I'm pretty sure it was 07 because they had already started clicking right away. Mm-hmm. And I was asking him, you know, is it unusual? And he said, yeah, it is unusual because I normally don't feel, no matter who the receivers are, I normally don't feel comfortable with them until week 8. So in past years, when he's had some turnover, not nearly the turnover he has this year, but when he's had new guys come in each year, we haven't seen that kind of panic when things have gone wrong early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
This year's different. This year, the receiver, there's a lot of turnover, and the guys that they've brought in are not veterans. They're guys who are mostly young, inexperienced, and are learning, the one exception being Amendola. That's why I think his reaction tells me that he feels that things are as bad as we feel they are.
Well, the larger question here, though, is that does he really feel like this is going to get better? And you know he's going to put the positive spin on it.
Well, yeah, if you ask him that in public, he's going to say, yes, I feel confident.
And so now it's up to us, among others, to figure out, okay, well, what would be the best course of action?
Which is why I think he knows he needs to correct his body language, because I think he's giving away, he's wearing on his sleeve what his emotions really are.
And I think he does see that there's potential in these guys. Otherwise, I don't think he'd be going near as ballistic as he did go this last week. And
either that, or he knows too that, you know, contract is probably it for New England.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I'm on the cusp of the end of my career.
Yeah. And I want to win one more.
I want to win another one. If not two more, you know, there's always one for the thumb.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Yeah. So. But at least one more. And I think they can do it. That's the thing. I think with him there, Gronk healthy, the defense showing me some signs of improvement, I think they are capable.
And that's lost in the picture here because, well, I know we spend most of our time on Tuesdays nitpicking things. I really wanted to bring out a point as well about the defense that, you know, in the past couple of years, the offense has had to carry the load. Now the first couple of weeks of the season, the defense is picking up its slack, and we may need to see this happen for a little while longer until some of these injured parties get back into the lineup. And so I didn't want the whole show to be dealing with, oh, the receivers stink, oh, Gostkowski stinks, he missed a field goal, oh, the running game blows, oh, they don't blow. I didn't want that to overshadow. The larger point is that the defense is keeping this team in games, and the defense is winning games right now. The defense picked off 3 passes last week and had 4 quarterback sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would we have done? Would we have just about, you know, maimed, you know, something to get that kind of a performance against a good team last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I mean, that's a performance right now that completely and totally is getting overshadowed because of the ineptitude, the sudden ineptitude of this, you know, steamroller offense.
Right.
When all we worried about all year long was, all season long, was, the offense is going to be fine. We got to get the defense better. Look at the defense. And we're not talking about it.
I'm encouraged by what I've seen out of the defense, but I also want to qualify it with, they haven't played a great quarterback and a great offense yet.
That's also true. 2 rookie quarterbacks that they faced in the first 2 weeks. That's a great point.
Which is why I said at the beginning, I'm somewhat disappointed that the Falcons are going through this injury rash right now, because I want them at their best when we go down there in a couple of weeks. Because, no, really, John,
I want them to be a piece of pulp.
Listen, I want... No, because I want to know what this team is really made out of. And the only way you do that is by going against the other team's best.
Okay. That's fair.
I want to see if this team legitimately has made strides on defense or not. Or were they just doing that against 2 rookie quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
If they can do that against Matt Ryan and the potent Falcons offense, then I'll say, all right, you know what? I have reason to continue to be optimistic about this defense.
Well, it may very well be.
And it may very well be, but
they're going to have to.
Yeah, but I also, you know, I don't want the Falcons to be coming in with a clipped wing. I want them to be at their best, but it doesn't look like they're going to be.
But wouldn't you also want the Patriots to be 100% facing the Falcons, whether they had a clipped wing or not? And they're not going to be.
Well,
why wouldn't you want to? So you're telling me you want the Patriots to play a team that's better than they are right now?
No. I want both teams to be at their best, but knowing that it's probably unlikely that New England will be at its best, at least offensively.
Well, it certainly appears now that Atlanta would be in the same situation.
But defensively, New England, I think, is in pretty decent shape right now. Knock on wood.
A couple of tweets. Let me get these in before we get back to the phones here. Marco sends this. He says, a report said that Danny Amendola is having surgery. True?
Well, there have been a lot of reports about Danny Amendola and his condition and his status and his prognosis. He has not had surgery at least as of yesterday, because he was out at practice.
Right, and he didn't look too good in practice.
He really didn't look very good in practice. The term I used was shuffling. He seemed to be shuffling through drills,
mm-hmm.
barely picking his feet off the ground, because I think it probably hurt too much for him to do so.
Probably.
Which has to make you question why he was out there in the first place.
Fact of the matter is, he's got, you know, some torn muscles apparently in the groinal region, in the hip area as well, and it's just going to take time. It may very well be that its surgery could speed up the process, and I think that's been part of the decision making here, and maybe why he was out on the field yesterday as opposed to resting, when, because his being out on the field was a bit of a surprise to most observers and most reporters yesterday, because of the way he, you know, limped off on Thursday. So, limped off the previous week against Buffalo. So, it may very well be that he's decided to go that route based on his play of practice yesterday.
Possible. Yeah. That they're off today.
They're off. Yeah.
So we don't know.
We don't know for certain
where he is,
but we'll continue to follow.
But if he's
that.
Out there on Wednesday, that means he didn't have surgery. Clearly.
We'll find out tomorrow.
But we'll know more tomorrow.
Let's see. This one comes from our buddy Derek, who says, nitpick, lack of production from the run game. Knew the passing game would struggle, but they'll improve. No balance, little OL push. That's my other big nitpick.
The O-line wasn't good.
Yeah, there was no production for the run game. I thought that they might have abandoned it a little bit too soon. And frankly, that's the kind of situation, Eric, where I'm kind of going, you know what? Get out there and push, guys. This is how we got to win the game. So get out there and do it. And they didn't handle it very well, you know, especially based on, you know, what you're telling us.
Yeah.
So going back and looking at that. So, all right, that's a couple of them there. Let me get one more phone call in here before we let you loose. Mike in Tampa, Florida. Mike, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Good. I just have kind of a couple of nitpicks, but it's more really directed towards the league more than it is towards the Patriots. I'm kind of confused why teams don't, and I guess, Eric, you said you used to be a kicker. I don't know if you were a punter. But
both.
Why they don't punt the ball out of bounds more often on the sideline inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, the old coffin corner. Yeah, that's a great point. I there's been a trend the last 10 years or so where the league wants to go to more of that when they're plus 50 punting.
Right.
They want to do that rugby-style punting thing where they get backspin on the ball so that when it hits the ground, it
right.
falls
and I
back.
Totally understand
and
that.
That's, and that's great, but I agree with you. I think that they should more when you get plus 50, your goal should be more. If you want to do it that way, fine, but angle the kick
right
down into the corner near the pylon. Your aim should be for the pylon.
Right.
That's where the ball should be going.
I conducted a little experiment. I mean, I used to play soccer a little bit, so I could punt the ball a little bit. I went roughly around 45 yards out and started. I took 10 punts. You know, a couple of them went into the end zone. A couple of them were on the sideline. Maybe would have been returned or not. Not too sure. But I had 5 out of 10 pretty much went out inside the 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not even a professional, so you'd think that a professional would be able to do that. Granted,
sure.
They have somebody rushing in their face.
No, but that's why they practice these things. I mean, that's why they're
right.
a professional. And you're right, that's a lost art, I think, the coffin corner. Because
right. And then one comment to have is, on the same respect, the referees, I mean, again, it's simple physics when I put it down on paper. If I kick the ball out of bounds and it lands roughly 5 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
The most that you would do a runoff on that would be roughly about 3 to 5 yards. Now, I've seen a referee, ball lands out of bounds, about 5 yards out of bounds, and he goes 15 yards up the field, which is, unless there's a huge gust of wind at the very end of the kick, that's totally impossible.
That's right. That's actually a geographic equation.
Right. And same thing, if you kick it out 10, I've figured it out that if you kick it out 10 yards out of bounds, not taking any wind into account, the most they could run off is about 12 yards. But I've seen referees run 15, 20 yards down the field. I mean, sometimes it's totally ridiculous. It lands two yards out of bounds, and
right.
they're running up 10 yards.
It's yeah, how they
impossible.
They determine where that ball went out of bounds, it's funny.
By the way, it should be geometric.
Yes,
equation.
I knew what you were going to say. I knew what you meant.
That's my own version of a Yogi Berra-ism.
But anyways, that's my, you know, NFL nitpicks more than the Patriots. As far as the Patriots
are, I think those are good. Those are really good ones, Mike. And I think the interesting one that you bring up is the coffin corner punt one, because
mm-hmm.
I happen to agree with both of you wholeheartedly. What the hell ever happened to guys going, you know?
And
for,
it's a simple thing. If
it
they,
really
if they
is.
Want to keep the rugby style punt, that's fine.
Fine.
That's a great tactic.
But you got to punt
it
toward
for the pylon.
The pylon. Exactly.
Because
exactly.
even if it bounces out,
to figure that out.
Yeah, it's really stupid. I don't get it. I really don't. That's a great point you bring up, Mike.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate
Mike, thanks for the time. All right, appreciate that. All right. I know you got to go right. So,
I do.
We'll continue with more of your nitpicks here on the program. So stay with us. You're on the line. Stay on the phones. Send us the tweets at JR Broadcaster. Send us the email, webradio@patriots.com. Send us the Facebook post to john.rook, R-O-O-K-E on Facebook. And of course, the toll free line is 855-PATS-500. But first,
ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
As Eric plays his violin.
Yes, like Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
I will put it down now, and I will puff on the pipe.
Actually, that sounds more like a cello, doesn't it? That's
yeah,
got to be a cello.
I think it might be a cello.
Yeah.
But today's word is recrudesce.
Recrudesce.
Recrudesce. R-E-C-R-U-D-E-S-C-E.
Recrudesce.
Recrudesce. Yes.
Okay.
It's a verb. It means to break out again after a period of dormancy or to recur.
So we're waiting.
Like a disease or a sore. Or
we're waiting for the recrudesce of the Patriots offense. We're waiting for the Patriots offense to recrudesce.
Yeah, recrudescence might be what you were.
Recrudescence, yes.
Might be that geographic equation you were looking for earlier.
Shut up. Waiting for the recrudescence of the Patriots offense.
Right, the awesome firepower of the Patriots offense to recrudesce this season. How's that?
Like it. I like it a lot.
All right.
Yap at you tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be here.
You're here tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, back in the playbook. All right, we got to get the timeout in here. Stick around, though. Getting right back to your nitpicks. Anything else that's on your mind via the Patriots, the National Football League, we do it here in the playbook.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Or you can hit me up on Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Real easy Twitter handle to handle. Twitter handle to remember, too. Junior Broadcaster, as Kevin has liked to say. And you can find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the last name. So there you go. Lots of different ways you can connect with the program here in hour number two. Playbook Nitpick Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. Look back at the previous game. What went wrong in your estimation? That's what we do on Tuesdays. We sort of commiserate. We try to decide what's really good, what wasn't so good. What steps can they take to go forward? How can they correct the problems? And then sometimes there are just, you know, crazy, quirky, irky things that get on your mind that you just kind of got to get off your chest, that you don't like about this or you don't like about that. This is a bitch and moan session is what it is. We complain. We whine. That's what we do. Webradio@patriots.com. This one comes from Superman Reno, who says, when Gronkowski is back, the best tight end, in my opinion, do you think the passing will be better? Because I think so, because it'll take some pressure off of the rookies. And will the running game be better when he is in there blocking? I think you kind of answered your own question there, Superman Reno. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that the passing game would be better because you'll have another huge target that the defense has to respect, that Tom Brady is most definitely going to target. And yes, that should make the rookies relax somewhat. Maybe that'll help them get to their spots. You know, you actually kind of bring up a good point in a roundabout way. There's a lot of pressure on these young guys, and sometimes, you know, when you're being thrown into the fire like that, you know, you'd either do it or you don't. It's the old sink or swim adage, right? And I don't think they're sinking entirely, but let's just say they're having trouble treading water. That's really kind of the crux of the problem as I see it. Robin in Alaska writes via email, Brady exuberantly praises and admonishes during the moment. That's who he is. He's a passionate guy. Every clip shown from every moment of his career will show this. He's fiery for the good and bad at others and himself. Getting yelled at for screwing up is part of football. Heck, it's part of life. The key to remember is whether it's a win or a loss, the postgame interviews always consist of we, us, and I need to play better. It's never been this player lost it for us or, contrary to Family Guy, everyone sucks but me. Love that one. Brady is not T.O. Both are emotional men, but there is a difference. From the outside looking in, way outside being that I'm in Alaska, I still feel safe saying that Brady is not a problem on this team, which is contrary to what the sensationalism wants to make of it. You know, Robin, it's a good point, but I'll tell you that I don't think anybody's trying to make out that Brady's the problem here. I think that what they're saying is that Brady's finally getting fed up with some of the things that Eric was talking about in the opening hour of the program today. And the fact is that this problem, this perceived problem, and again, I'm putting quotation marks around that word problem, this problem doesn't show any signs of getting better in a hurry. That this problem is going to take some time to fix. That's all. And so what we're kind of surmising here is how best to fix it. And my assumption is that they should stay the course. They've already started down this path. They cannot change the way that they are going. Because then you're just going to defeat the overall purpose of trying to get these rookies up to speed. You cannot bring in someone from the outside. And there's nobody who's been in this organization that can provide an adequate amount of help and be up to speed on the playbook and make a difference. They're just, that person does not exist. No. They don't exist. All right, to the phones, Chris in Alberta. Thanks for hanging on, Chris. You're in the playbook.
I wondered if there's a possibility of maybe, like, what you guys think of, actually think of Danny Amendola and possibly of maybe, like, I don't know, maybe releasing, dumping, trading. The dude has never stayed healthy, and now he's out again for 6 weeks, which, if you watch the Jets game, doesn't really leave us many options to win football games anymore. I know that you just finished saying that you can't really afford to bring anybody in, but we really can't afford to keep risking winning games on the hands of rookie receivers who really aren't really catching with Tom Brady. You see what I'm saying?
Well, sure I do, but, I mean, so what's your alternative? I mean, you're telling us, you know, we need to dump Danny Amendola. And by the way, it'd be pretty tough to do. He's got another, I believe he's got a multi-year contract. So
you not trade out of that contract? Can you not, like, trade for him for somewhere else?
You're going to find somebody of equal value?
Yeah.
You want to tell me? If you can tell me who that person is, I'm all ears. But then again, even if you found that person, you'd have to find a willing partner. Because, you know, the other side is going to see that trade and say, well, you're trading him for a reason now, aren't you? Why are you trading him? Because he gets hurt all the time? Well, then why the hell would I take him?
That's true. It's just really frustrating to watch, like, you know, like the Dolphins talk smack about taking the AFC East. And here we are, where we should normally just be like, it's just, these wins should have just been nothing to us. It should be like 300 yards passing, multiple touchdowns. And here we are sitting with, like, it's like the worst I've ever seen it.
Understood, Chris. But, you know, here's the part of your frustration. You know, the fact is that, you know, Tom and his receivers have had, you know, 400-yard games and multiple 100-yard receiving games and in the past. And because they're struggling with it this year, it's different for us. It's out of the ordinary. And like we mentioned in the opening hour of the program today, this team is having to realize that it needs to sit on its defense a little bit more. And it's about time because the defense has been carried by the offense the last few years. So I'm just glad that the defense is up to snuff and it's still not there yet, but I'm glad at least against two opponents that probably are, well, I don't want to say inferior, but let's just say they're not in the same shape as the Patriots are right now, at least that it's done an adequate enough job to get this team to a 2-0 start. Nobody's going to remember, Chris, the style points at the end of the year. All they're going to remember is how many notches do you have under the W column and how many notches do you have under the L column. That's all they remember. They don't remember the score or anything else. So it doesn't matter how they get there, just that they get there.
Is Talib out? I heard that he was injured.
No, not to my knowledge.
I heard that he like hobbled off the last play after that pick in the Jets game, and I was like, "Oh shit, is he injured?"
Well, dude, listen, if I was out there, I'd hobble off after every play. I can understand, you know, players hobbling off doesn't necessarily mean that he's injured.
Okay, well, thank you though. Thank you for your time, man.
Sure, Chris. Appreciate the call. No problem at all. Let's get to Andy in Minnesota. Andy, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going? Do you think the Patriots' running game will be fixed, specifically Ridley? You know, he's averaging like 2 or 3 yards a carry at a fumble. Do you think that's pretty much the part of the game that he can rely on? Or
absolutely. And as we mentioned again in the opening hour of the program today, that part of the reason that, you know, I'm disappointed, and one of my bigger nitpicks from this last week was the fact that I didn't think that they stayed with the running game long enough, but Eric pointed out, and we also had a couple of other people point out, contributing to the program here, that said, you know, the offensive line just really did not do a good enough job against the Jets defense. Jets have a pretty good front seven, vastly underrated. And, you know, suffice to say, if they still had Revis back there in the secondary, then I still think the Jets could be a contender in this division. So, you know, they're still pretty decent on that side of the football. And our offensive line did not do a good enough job of getting up to the challenge of making the blocks to give Vereen and, not Vereen, to give Ridley and LeGarrette Blount room to run. They just did not do a good enough job. And plus, now that Vereen is out and will be out for, you know, half the season with his broken wrist, that gives you a, you know, a change of pace back and certainly a great running back that you can throw to out of the backfield. And here's the puzzler that I have right now, Andy, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because you went and you re-signed Leon Washington and you brought him back in and not only are you not using him as a kick returner, of which he was a Pro Bowler a year ago for the Jets, but you don't use him at running back except for what, one or two snaps against your former team? I was scratching my head on that one, and I don't know why Leon Washington, you know, isn't getting more run here, because I think, frankly, he should. If you signed him and brought him back in, you need to give him a chance to do what he can do. Otherwise, why the hell did you sign him?
Yep.
So that's the question that I have. And frankly, I would expect to see more of Leon Washington, because he's got to be that change of pace guy, and he's got to be the guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield like Vereen did before he got hurt.
Yep. Yep. So, okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Andy, thanks for the phone call. Good stuff. You're bringing up some very good questions here. Keep them coming. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Or you can hit us toll free from anywhere. And I mean anywhere on this planet. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Next up is Chester in Portland, Oregon. Chester, you're in the playbook.
Hey, Big John.
What's up, Chester?
Your voice again, man. It's been way too long. You know, my Tuesday nitpick today is the Pats Nation. You know, I think it's ridiculous that we're seeing this game in a vacuum. You know, being a Thursday night game, which, by the way, I think this Thursday night the situation is horrible for the game of football. You have very little preparation. You know, what we saw on the field there was a team that had no practice in pads. You know, and I'm not being an apologist to this team, because I realize there's a lot of executional shortfalls here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to hear these listeners is embarrassing as a Patriots fan. And people need to understand it's a 16-week season. John, in all due respect to you, Leon Washington was brought back for a long-term plan over the course of the season. I think he's still hurt. He's got a thigh injury. I know the guys at PFW had referenced that. And I wholeheartedly agree. I think he's just not 100% yet.
Okay.
He may need to get more time with the playbook in terms of that, you know. But, you know, what I like here is our defense is stepping up to the plate. We're winning games, close games, which, by the way, I think is critical for being ready for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, you know, seeing these rookies getting the high amount of reps that we're getting right now is going to do nothing but bode more confidence and more involvement in this playbook once our top three offensive weapons are back, which, by the way, is a huge deficiency within its own right. So I want to reset the record
And I'll be on radio all day, for that matter, to tell Pat Station to pump their brakes and calm down and realize this Thursday night package is a big reason why we look so awful. And that's really all I got. I just love to hear your comments off the air.
Thank you, Chester. All right, that's good stuff. That's a great call. And let me say this about the Thursday night package. Cash register, baby. Okay, it's all about, you know, straight cash, homie. The NFL moved to, you know, to the off nights, you know, during the middle of the week because they can. The NFL Network is their baby. The NFL Network, you know, is all their cash, but, you know, they already had agreements and arrangements in place with the other networks to broadcast exclusively on the other nights that you have games. Thursday was it. That's the only reason why, because it gives, you know, the NFL Network a chance to, you know, tout its wares. Plus, it does give two teams the undivided attention of the country. And a lot of the owners like that, in addition to the money, but they certainly like the fact that, hey, if you're going to watch an NFL game, hey, if you're going to watch a football game, you're going to watch us. You're going to see us. You're going to see what we've got and what we don't have. So that's the reason behind the Thursday night package more than anything else. It's because the NFL can and people will watch it. And it's the very reason that the NFL Network, by and large, exists to this day. You brought up some good points as well about the defense. It is time for the defense to carry, and they have done it. And, yes, it's probably done against two relatively subpar opponents. But the fact is that how much different would we be feeling now if these two games against alleged subpar opponents were losses instead of wins? And that's why I like your comment, Chester, about how the close games should give this team some practice in learning how to win them. It absolutely does. That's the silver lining to me right now, and I'm really happy you brought this up because this is on my list of things here, and I wasn't sure I was going to get to it. This is a young team, and I've stressed this several times since the season began a few weeks ago. All right? Young team. It has morphed from the second oldest in the NFL. I can't stress this enough, people. Second oldest roster in the NFL just 2 short years ago to the 11th youngest. All right, so you're going from 31st in age up 20 spots up the ladder to 11. That's basically what you've done in 2 years. That's big changeover. Now, I realize that the Patriots also return 18 starters from last year. Sounds like a college game, but in effect, that's what they're returning, 18 starters. But I think we all realize that in the professional game, those starters don't play all the time. It's the teams that are best prepared for their depth to come through. That's going to make the difference between a pretender and a contender in this league. Everybody's stuck to the same roster restrictions. How well you build up depth and how well that depth is game ready can and will make the difference for you. And that's been why the Patriots have been as competitive as they have been for a long time. Their depth has been better. Now their depth is being challenged at a very early part of the season because of the injuries. Injuries. The great equalizer in all of sport. A lot of people like to use them as an excuse. They're not an excuse, but they are a fact. Like death and taxes, injuries happen. And so, again, we get back to depth. How well does a team respond to those injuries by the depth that they have been able to build from within their own organization? And the Patriots' depth right now is iffy because why? Because the players they have backing up those 18 of 22 starters are younger and less experienced and therefore prone to more mistakes. That's all there is to it. It really is. That's all there is to it. And the only way that the depth gets better is because the depth has to play. That's the only way they get better. In your job, if you screw up and you get taken off the assembly line or you get kicked out of the office from the corner office or something, what do you want to do? Are you going to mope or do you want to get back in there? If you're a competitor, you're going to want to get back in there. So people that would say, oh, we got to change, you know, directions here. We got to bring in a receiver. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not even applying it to your own life here. Got to stay the course here. Now that you've chosen this direction, there's really no other way to go. Will it get better? I think it can. It doesn't mean it will. We do know that there haven't been some great choices made, especially in the wide receiving ranks over the last few years by this organization. We know that. But it's what you got. You've made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. Patrick in Brooklyn up next. Patrick, you're in the playbook.
How you guys doing?
Great, Patrick.
Good. I called last week, and before I start, let me just say you guys have a great show.
Thank you.
And last week I called, I started talking about Vince Wilfork, and I mentioned to you that I thought that in pass rush situations that his tenure as a pass rusher, I think, is coming to an end. And I bring it back up this week to say the following. I watched the line play specifically against the Jets this past week,
mm-hmm.
and what I noticed was that Vince was stood up most of the times and really had no penetration. So he's still a very meaningful and very valuable and very needed player for New England, mm-hmm. but not as a pass rusher anymore. And what further proved my point was, of all places today in the Wall Street Journal, they showed you a Miami Dolphin clip where the new trend seems to be going to putting extra defensive ends on the field in pass rushing situations and putting an end against a guard or a center where you normally wouldn't put him, and that creates a mismatch.
Correct.
And it seems to be more effective. So Vince, as good as he is, if you look at him, it's a mistake to leave him out in pure pass rush situations because all you have to do is get a big body in front of him because he's just not quick enough to get by, because it's more strength and quickness than it is just pure strength.
You are correct, and we did talk about that a little bit last week. You're bringing up a very good point that the Patriots 2 weeks ago against Buffalo moved Chandler Jones to the inside in certain situations, and the Patriots were able to get a rush up the middle and flush E.J. Manuel out of the pocket. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so I think, John, you're going to see that trend a lot more. And if you do get a chance to see the New York Wall Street Journal, just look at that one article, and you're going to start seeing this trend because the game is now really, I'd say the league is almost a 70% passing league,
mm-hmm.
and that's proven by the fact that running backs are almost not drafted in the first round anymore.
Well, as we all know, Patrick, that you know all things are cyclical in life and football. And so I've always maintained, and I think this is just continuing this trend, I will always maintain that if this is indeed where we're going, and I think you're accurate because we're seeing it here as well, and we saw it in week one, we saw it a little bit last week, we'll probably continue to see it as you bring up. What will happen now is the teams will bulk up on the line again, and then they're just going to get behind these offensive linemen when they're in mismatch situations like this, and they are going to return to a power running game. So, I mean, you know, and then the league, while I think we all realize that over the last 10 to 20 years has been certainly more pass oriented, the league is going to, it's going to come back full circle. I think we'll see, I don't know that we'll ever see, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust like we saw in the Green Bay Packer 1960s era, but I do think that we'll see teams begin to realize that, you know what, maybe we do need the guys that can go between the tackles a little bit more and get the tough yards, and maybe if we're only getting 3 and 4 yards a push, maybe we need to make that work. So you'll certainly see more teams, I think, willing to try it if, you know, this trend continues and actually becomes a staple rather than just a fad.
Sure. And, John, I have one more thing.
Sure.
You know, I am, I guess, along with a lot of other listeners, you know, one of the guys that may have been a little frustrated at the start. But when I pull back, and I guess the phrase you guys use all the time amongst yourselves is when I pump the brakes a little bit, I begin to see that I think there is a little overreaction in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of rookies. What Belichick has now is a team like Tom Landry had many years ago. I think Landry went to a Super Bowl, believe it or not, with 13 rookies. So Belichick has a team that is extremely young, and what has to happen is this team, rather than maybe taking shape in week 4 or week 6, may not take shape until maybe week 10. So we've got to be patient. Brady has got to calm down, and I think we have to rely on the running game a little bit more. But you'll see, once we get two tight ends back on the field and we can control that middle, you'll begin to see the team that you're looking for. Right now, you're not going to see that. You only see a facsimile of it. So everyone's got to be a little patient. Some of these young guys, you're asking them to do a lot. They come from programs with offenses that are not nearly as sophisticated, and there's a learning curve. So I think we got to be patient. And I think week 8, week 9, week 10, you begin to see the product that you expect to see.
Patrick, I like the fact that you've taken your meds today. That's a very sane comment.
Well, by the way, thank you so much. Pleasure being on. Look forward to speaking again.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate that. Good insight there from Patrick in Brooklyn. Hey, he's dead on. He's 110% nail on the head stuff right there. Patience is the key here. There's no question about it with a young team like this. I had forgotten that, though, about Tom Landry and all those rookies. I had forgotten that one. I may go back and do a little research on that one, but if that's the case, and shame on me because I grew up a Cowboys fan, as I know many of you know, wow, that's remarkable. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen for New England, but it certainly should give you some hope that there is a strong learning curve in the right direction, you know, for this team based on what we've seen. And that's why when you look at the bottom line of 2-0, and that's how we kind of began the program today, this team's 2-0. They could be 0-2. And how bad would it be with losses to the Bills and the Jets in your division? 0-2. It would be excruciating. So there are some things we should be thankful for. You won, you move on. That's the beauty of the NFL. You can't really, you can't really dwell because you've always got the next one coming up. You know, and I know that, you know, the NFL, you know, focuses on one game at a time more so than any other league because the other leagues are all playing more games. And this one, you've got one game a week, you know, over a 17-week period and 1 week to rest somewhere in between. And the bye week is the most awful week of the football season. If your team has the bye week, that's a terrible week because your team isn't playing. But it is what it is. You focus on the one at a time and you hope that the learning curve is going to be there, and it gives us a chance to sort of reflect and look ahead and all kinds of things. That's why football is the most popular sport, you know, in this country. Because of the buildup, because of the suspense, because of the ability for us to do what we're doing right here, tearing it down and trying to build it back up again. Michael sends this on Facebook. He says, pundits like to say Tom took a pay cut to keep Welker, but consider he did get more guaranteed money. They got Amendola as a long-term business decision. Sure, they planned on a better core for him, but they picked some receivers to enhance the opportunities for him. Bill is constructing a team, and Tom has his own solid roster spot in the plan. Do you think they will keep a solid defensive back core in the long term? Dennard is questionable for the long term with his criminal history. Tlaib is on a 1-year deal. Thursday is business. Every team, including Green Bay, this is talking about the NFL Network and playing on Thursday nights. Every team, including Green Bay, publicly owned, is still a business. They're all interested in building revenue. They all earn money in other items, including marketing, ancillary items, jerseys, souvenirs, etc. No question. All right, let me take this one at a time because he sent three or four really good points here. Yes, Tom took a pay cut, but yes, he got more guaranteed money up front. So there was a benefit to him doing what he did to try to keep Welker. It didn't work out. You kind of wonder if he's like, you know, kind of like, you know, wondering what the hell himself. But, you know, I think he understands better than anybody that, number one, what Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are doing is what they believe is in the long term, stress the phrase long term best interest of the franchise. It is a business after all. And in the long term interest of the franchise, it's best to keep this business thriving. How best to keep the business thriving and making money? By making it competitive, by giving it a chance. Now, if you go out and you sell the farm and go over the salary cap and do all this stuff that you're not really, that you really shouldn't do, but you pull a Dallas Cowboys like they did a couple of short years ago, right? And you're way over the cap and you can't fix the problem. And then what do you have? Then you got 7-9, 8-8 and you're struggling to be relevant. They would rather be 10-6 or 11-5 or win the division and get into the dance, get into the tournament. Because then when you're in the postseason tournament, you got a shot. You don't have a shot if you're not in the playoffs. And they feel like mortgaging the future, mortgaging the present, or, yeah, I mean mortgaging the future for the present is not what they want to do. This is a little bit of a stretch. This is a little bit of a leap of faith this year in going this young, this quickly. if the receivers they have in fold are the best receivers, and we're led to believe that because Bill Belichick has said the players that made this 53-man roster are the guys we kept, we thought we had the best chance to win with this year, then that tells me that the other guys that were in a receiver weren't as good, if he's being completely honest with us. And if that's the case, well, then by all means, we want the best receivers in. Now, you can certainly criticize the system evaluation that they have. Their scouting, their judgment of talent, who can do it, who can't do it. You can criticize all of that you want because they've left themselves open for that criticism. Fact of the matter is, though, this is their decision. This is their team. We can gripe and moan and bitch about it all we want to, but it won't change things. So the best, you know, idea here is to, you know, figure out what you'll tolerate and what maybe you won't tolerate. Because you know what? That's the same exact thing that Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are doing. And they are the only difference between them and you and me and us and all of us, except for a few billion dollars, would have to be that they already know what they can tolerate. Everybody else doesn't. This is how they want to build their team. One other thing here. Michael says, Vince was double-teamed on most of those highlights. The Giants already developed the NASCAR package, which is the, you know, defensive end moving to the middle. Teams still need a big nose tackle to anchor the line. Someday soon there will be another Jerome Bettis. Yep, absolutely. And that was my whole point. You know, if you're going to keep going with a quote-unquote NASCAR package like the Giants do go with by moving the, you know, defensive end inside to take advantage of mismatch opportunities, then all you're going to do is you're just going to get a big back to plow behind the center. And then you're going to have to do something to plug the gap. And then you're going to go back and get yourself a big nose tackle and everything else. So, you know, Vince Wilfork is he's a two-gap player. He's a guy that stuffs the line. He's not expected to be a pass rusher. He's expected to take on two and sometimes three blockers at a time. That's his job. That's what he does. He probably does it as well as any other player in the entire NFL. And he's done it for an extended period of time. He's not going to be a pass rusher. If he gets to the quarterback, I would venture a guess, and this is with all due respect to Vince, but if Wilfork ever gets to the pass rusher, or ever gets to the passer, is because some offensive lineman really screwed up. Charles sends this on email. He says, are the Patriots a Super Bowl team? Check back with me in about 10 weeks, Charles, okay? Because honestly, there's just no way to answer that. Could they? Yes. Will they? I'll let you answer that question. Okay. Fat Beaver sends this one. Love the handle. Yo, Rook, a win is a win. Look around the league. Most games are boring and low scoring. Here's my nitpick. Really poor execution in the red zone. It was the case back in week one. Too many points left on the field. It could be related to the play calling. My opinion is McDaniels may be too aggressive in his game plan, at least early in this season. You have to score in the red zone. But we did learn one positive note. Julian Edelman can play. He belongs on this offense, and if he continues to deliver throughout the season, give the man a well-deserved extension. Okay, 2 points here. Number one, yes, there was poor execution in the red zone. Why? Inexperience. Gets back to the major problem of the day on offense. Your go-to guys just aren't sure where to be when they need to be, and the only way that this problem is going to be fixed is by repetition. Repeat, repeat, repeat. You know, first time you got on a bicycle, you probably fell off it, didn't you, when you were a kid? How did you fix the problem? You got back on it and tried again. Probably fell again, right? You got back on it, you tried again. If you're like me, you got back on it about 20 times before you finally picked it up. Some people learn faster than others. We all hope that the young receivers learn more quickly. Chances are, maybe one or two will, but somebody won't. Just get back up on the bike and pedal. And that's all they can do right now. And that's how you get through the problem. Frankly, I'm anxious for the next game because I want to see these guys get their reps. I want them on the field. We saw flashes of brilliance, really, from Dobson in particular. I mean, no doubt in my mind we did. If he caught that pass that he laid out for in the second, I mean, goodness gracious, that was remarkable. The first touchdown play, he was wide open, even though Brady kind of underthrew him, and he was kind of moaning about how it was sort of a blown coverage, but nevertheless, he hit the man when he had to hit him, caught the ball, scored the touchdown. You know, I think Dobson, you know, could be, you know, a legitimate big play kind of guy. He's just got to learn to hold on to the ball. Julian Edelman, good point here by Fat Beaver, because, you know, we did learn something about Julian that we didn't really know we had. I think we all realized that he was sort of a mini Welker clone, and I don't mean mini in size, but he was just sort of a Welker type player that was valuable to a point, but we saw how valuable he could be last Thursday. But I'll make this point here, and I'll probably make it throughout the rest of the season, that any other weeks that he catches 13 balls, this team's in trouble. He doesn't need to be catching 13 balls. And frankly, a lot of that's probably due to the fact that the Jets in the secondary just didn't play him as well as they should have. For all the plaudits were given the Jets front seven earlier in the show here today, their secondary blew. Because there's no way that Edelman should have been anything but double covered. And you got to make one of those rookies beat you. And frankly, the Jets just didn't do that, and that's why they lost the game. But we'll give Edelman a lot of credit. Yeah, he can go make the tough play. He sure can. You know, it's a shame that Brady had to target him as many times as he did. Extension, I'm not ready to go there yet. Let's wait and see how the year winds up before we start, you know, turning over rolls of money. Steven. John, while I know the offense is rebuilding, the lack of red zone production would have to be my nit. Two in a row for the red zone. Making plays when it counts the most is what these guys are paid to do, and field goals down the line will not be enough to get it done. Yes, I know the receiving core is young and things will improve, but before all those who are on the ledge get ready to jump, here is where we stand. The Pats are currently in the top quarter of the NFL. Here's the rundown of the other teams. Dolphins, Texans, Chiefs, Broncos, Bears, Saints, Seahawks. From Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, obviously getting right to the point, and a good point made. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 undefeated teams. Yeah, so they're in the top quarter of the NFL. That's all you need to be right now. You're 2-0. Style points don't matter. Stats, yards, they don't matter. What matters is wins and losses. I know style points are big with a lot of Patriots fans and always have been. Hey, style points are important for me. We all like to have the quarterback that, you know, is number one or two in the league in throwing and percentage or touchdown passes. We always like to have one of the top 10 rushers. We had that a year ago. Always like to have one of the top couple of receivers. We've had that the last few years with Welker. We don't have anybody doing that now. I saw today where Brady's 27th in percentage. Woo! 27th? That's just amazing. So if you look at the numbers, you don't see too many Patriots there, but the team is 2-0. Doesn't it stand to reason? I mean, can't you use some deductive reasoning here to say that it's going to get better before it gets worse? Just me. James in Hingham, Mass. Never really celebrated an injury, but Brandon Merriweather had it coming. To that end, with your history of watching the game, are you noticing more hits below the waist at the knees this year? I know every game I watch, the commentators bring it up. Well, yes. Actually, I think that's a pretty good point, James. I think to an extent, yes, because especially players in the secondary are I don't want to say they're afraid because nobody's really afraid. They're concerned about targeting, the new targeting rule. And, you know, if you hit somebody with the point of your helmet, you're going to get flagged and you're probably going to get fined and you may even get suspended. So, you know, you can't launch, you can't target, you know, and so there are a lot of defenders now who are saying, well, forget it. I can't really afford to do that because, you know, frankly, I don't want to have to take the money out of my pocket. And I don't blame them for that. So what's the other alternative? Anytime you go high, you run the risk, potentially, you run the risk. This is what they're saying. You run the risk of being guilty of targeting. So that's why you see guys going low. And, hey, if it means that, you know, that was sort of an unwritten rule in the past. You never go for a player's knees. You know, why did the Denver Broncos for years get criticized, you know, as being one of the dirtiest teams in the NFL. Why? Because their offensive linemen cut block. And by cut blocking, you're taking out the legs of your opponent, and that can lead to leg injuries, knee injuries. And so it's just kind of being an unwritten rule in football, especially in the pros, where you don't get a guy at his knees because that's his livelihood. Now that the targeting rules are in effect, and now that concussions are such a huge issue in the NFL, and upper body injuries are a huge injury in the NFL, and guys are getting fined for targeting now, that's bringing back, you know, going for the legs, going for the knees. That's bringing it back into play. So, yeah, the commentators are bringing it up because it's happening. And the NFL is really its own worst enemy in this regard. The rules committee and the officials, in my estimation, just aren't doing the job they need to do to explain once and for all specifically what you can and cannot do on a hit, on a tackle. Now, Coach Belichick has said it, and I'm sure other head coaches have said it to their fans and their media, that, you know, during preseason, during training camp, you have officiating crews come through and show you specifically what you can and can't do. But my whole problem here is that because they're getting so specific with what you can and can't do, that when a player is forced to react at a split second moment's notice, in an nth of a second, that there's just no possible way, humanly possible way, that you can make the kind of decision that would keep you from getting a fine or not getting a fine. It's just, it's practically an impossibility. So the instinct is just to knock the guy down. And generally speaking, when you're going to knock the guy down, where are you going? You're going high or you're going low? A lot of times you go high because that's the bigger part of the body. That's what you're targeting. But now if guys are getting fined for that, guys are going in with a mindset that, all right, I got to remember to go low. I got 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 to go low. And they're telling themselves, I got to go low. And so when they see a guy in the open field, where are they going? They're going low. And that's going to bring up more leg injuries, more knee injuries, and maybe part of the reason why we're seeing what we're seeing. Just a reason. Don't think, you know, it's all foolproof here, but at least in my estimation, that's probably why you're seeing some of the things that you're seeing right now. Let's see what else we have here. Michelle in PC, Florida, from earlier in the day. She says, I love my Pats because it's my hometown team and will be a fan even though an 0-16, God bless me, I hope I haven't jinxed them. I still find Belichick's free agent trades very suspect lately. As for Brady, my brother was the same very way, competitive, and he would seem angry at others even though he was just as mad at himself. I think Brady's the same way. That's a good point. As a Florida Pats fan, here's what others say. If they win well enough to brag, you're an a-hole. If it's close win, then the Pats era is coming to a close. If they lose it, man, why are you even a fan of them? Best way to survive is to keep your mouth closed, just wear your support, well, and then you're just a snob. Which is why I think Pats Nation doesn't realize how big it truly is in Florida. Okay, good point. Thank you, Michelle. She said, last thing, I love my Ninkovich. Do you think he's being underrated lately? Well, underrated, no. I think the Patriots know what they have in Rob Ninkovich. And I think the Patriots like what they have in Rob Ninkovich. So underrated? No. I think they know exactly what they have. Maybe he's underestimated by, you know, some opponents. I'll give you that because he's generally undersized for the position he plays, which is, you know, rush linebacker. You know, a hybrid defensive end. He's undersized for that position, really. That's why they went out and they drafted a guy like Jamie Collins, who we really haven't, you know, seen much yet beyond, you know, special teams use. Underrated, underappreciated? I don't know if I'd go that far just yet. Speaking of the devil, here's Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hey, Steve, how are you, pal?
I'm doing well, John. I already heard my nit with the red zone lack of productivity, but I'm gonna kind of spin from the other side of the nits for a moment and just kind of help everybody who's on the ledge come down.
Okay.
We're in the top quarter of the NFL right now at 2-0.
Yep.
There are only seven other teams with records as good as ours, and only three of those have two divisional wins.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a perspective. As far as Rob, I like the fact that he channeled the spirit of one Teddy Bruschi and had a monster game, and I hope to see that trend continue.
Sure.
And again, as I said when I called in earlier, you know, right now I think it's all about maturation. You know, Tom being Tom and being diminished, demonstrative, God bless him. You know, I'd rather have a guy who, you know, seems like he's going to go off his nut when things aren't right than a guy who just kind of goes, well, that's just the way it is, you know.
Right.
It is what it is. As opposed to kind of shouldering it and saying, you know what, I'm pissed that we're not doing what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather have a guy who has some passion and some fire and isn't afraid to show that. But I guess, you know, as far as another Nick going forward, I guess that's kind of what I want to see. And the 2007 Patriots had it in a quiet, subtle way, and, you know, that thing called swagger. I don't think this team has found that swag yet, of being able to play with a level of intensity where you just exert your will. It hasn't happened yet. The defense is doing it to a small degree, and I'm seeing it in spurts. But I'd like to see us be able to do it kind of across the board, where every aspect of the game, there's that bit of fear of, oh, wow, we really don't want to kick it, because we know Edelman's going to get the blocks and he's going to be gone. Or, you know, if we blitz Brady, he's going to kill us with a deep pass because his guys are going to be where they need to be. Or, you know, if we blitz, they're going to kill us with a screen that we don't see. Or, you know, we don't want to run to this side of the field because we know that the safeties and corners are going to shut us down. And I know we're not there yet, but I'd just like to be able to see, if not that level of progression, at least a bit more of that attitude, John. So that's kind of my net. And I know, again, it goes back to what I said, and being patient and waiting for a bit more of the maturation to happen. But, you know, I like to see us get a little nasty, as my high school coach said. We got to get a little more nasty in you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think that's all pretty good there, Steve. I think some of these guys are learning that they have to do that because the speed of the game is just different. We've talked about that before, and I think that's just a natural progression. They probably do need to learn to get a little nasty in them.
And part of it, too, is, you know, with the safety of the players and the change of the game, you know, growing up when we did, John, in the 70s, going across the middle as a receiver anywhere, you know, that's when you made sure that your last will and testament was up to date, because somebody was going to take your head off.
Or at the very least, you had your dental insurance paid up.
Yeah, because you're going to get rattled.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And the nature of the game has changed where, you know, you can have that level of aggression, but not to that same degree. And, you know, I get the whole idea of the NFL wanting players to have longevity and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the other part of that is, as we're going to see, I think, as the year progresses, we're going to see a lot more guys, you know, who may end up missing half the season, if not into, you know, God forbid, ending their careers because of trying to make this adjustment to be safe and taking out knees and causing all kinds of, you know, nastiness to happen on that front.
Good point. Yeah, very good point. Nastiness is key. And I think, you know, defenses need to also have, along the same lines, the killer instinct. In other words, when you got a team down, you have to be able to put, you know, the foot on the collective jugular of the other side. And I think that's one of the huge problems that this defense, and I think you know this as well as anybody, Steve, that this defense has had over the last couple of years. So what we need to see now, though, is the ability to not only stop someone, but maintain the stop, if that makes any sense. I think we've seen that more this year. I don't think the defense is all there, but I think it's pretty clear to see that we're getting that way. Again, take the Jets offense for what it was last week. You sacked the quarterback four times and you picked him off three.
And you kept him harassed and harangued the entire game.
Yes, you did. So he's a rookie, but he's a nimble rookie. And, you know, he's going to learn. So it's not like you were probably going up against a grizzled veteran here. But at the same time, if you don't do what you did last week, you lose the game, don't you?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, yeah.
Other things without a doubt, John, you got to have potato salad and jalapeno cornbread with the brisket. So I'll be working on I'm keeping that promise hopefully before mid-season and then again at the end of the year.
You're such a tease.
Hey, it's all about setting up expectations, brother. You know that.
Well, I, you know, just actually hearing somebody say those words is just, that's just music to me. So,
well, actually, in your case, John, you know, right now we need to put a little Tabasco on it.
Now you're talking.
you'll get that. We need to put a little Tabasco on it and kick it up a bit.
Now you are talking, my friend. You are talking. That's serious. That's only serious players need apply, right?
Exactly.
I love it.
For the timid, if you're going to step up, it's kind of like the gallon jug, you know, get the chip and suck it up, buttercup.
Really. And by the way, both Matt and Kevin in the next room are laughing at that one because they know exactly what you're talking about. They failed to suck it up. But then again, all of us kind of failed to suck it up there. That was some potent stuff, baby.
Yeah, that was Days and Sanity, the next level. I think it was called the Wicked Sauce.
Yeah, Wicked Sauce, yeah.
It had a little something-something on it, I think.
Oh, it had more than something-something, let me tell you. It was nuclear, whatever it was.
All right, brother. Hey, y'all take care, and I'll be in touch.
Steve, good stuff, man, as always. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Steve in Killeen, Texas. Wow, how about that? Let me wrap it up with a couple here before we get off to the fantasy football guys. B. Smith in Steamboat, Colorado writes this. Any thoughts on Matt Patricia? I like the guy, but maybe he just can't coach D as well as we would hope. I think Matt Patricia's just fine. Again, the defense isn't the problem right now. It's just not the problem. I'm not sure where you're thinking the problem is, to be quite honest with you. I think we all kind of realized that, you know, when we started the day today, you know, beginning our nitpicks, that the offense was the problem. I don't think the defense is the problem at all. I think Patricia, like some of the others before him, is learning on the job. You know, this is just, what, his second full season as the quote-unquote de facto, or not even de facto anymore, as the full-time defensive coordinator. 2 years ago, he was the de facto D coordinator, sort of in transition, and then he kind of, you know, moved into the position, which included the title this time. He's learning how to do it. This is how guys learn. This is how guys become head coaches. They learn on the job. You know, it's possible that you can make a choice as a defensive coordinator and he just can't coach. Look what my alma mater's done this last week when they fired Manny Diaz and you know, they hired Greg Robinson and people were, you know, convulsing over that one. But honestly, you know, he had some success there before. So why wouldn't you at least give it a try? Desperate times can make reasonable men and women do desperate things. If you can't coach, I would hope that you would recognize it to the point where it wouldn't damage the overall fortunes of the team and of the franchise. And based on the track record as we've seen it, I can't imagine that would be the case in any instance with Bill Belichick. Any. All right, thanks for taking part in the program today. Good stuff, as always, on a Nitpick Tuesday. There were plenty of nits to go around. I don't mean to sound preachy. I know sometimes that I probably come off that way. But all I'm doing here is giving you my thoughts as I see it. That's all. You can agree. You can certainly disagree. You have every right to call me out on the carpet for whatever you have, whether it's by email, the phone, Twitter, Facebook. That's fine. That's what it's all about. This is all about an exchange of viewpoints and ideas and knowledge and conjecture and camaraderie with football and friendship and whatever you want. That's what it's about here. We just try to delve into it a little bit differently than some others. That's why we call it the playbook. We'll spend some time with X's and O's, and we spend some time doing some screwy stuff too, which is all part of the fun of football. Tomorrow, we'll continue some of the screwy stuff. Oh, we'll have some fun, and we'll talk some X's and O's. And yes, tomorrow we turn the page of the playbook and look squarely at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to next Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. Thank God for 1 o'clock kickoffs. We just don't have them enough anymore. Same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow. Fantasy football next.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.